You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
This is what happens when you have to. I went to go grab some water real quick. Did I almost miss the return here? Is that what happened? I didn't realize we were gone that long. We're back though, right, Josh? We're on. All right. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here. It is a Buffalo Bills Football Friday. It is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. I'm a little bit out of breath trying to get back. I'm like, oh, you know what? I think the commercial's probably ending soon. So forgive me for one second while I do that. Thanks, Josh. What, were you scared? Were you like, where the hell is Sal? Where did he go?
Yeah, I thought I lost you. I didn't know what was going on. And I was about to call you, and I was like, where did he go? What happened? And, you know,
It's all good. No, I was just grabbing some water, and I was getting back. I'm like, wait a minute. I hear the music. I think I need to be back on the air and talk on the microphone real quick. All right, welcome back again. Like I said, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We have to tell you about the Barnes injury report, and of course, that's paired up with Sean McDermott coming on a little about an hour ago. If you missed that, check it on demand at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app. The Barnes Injury Report is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. No change, really, for the Bills. And what Sean McDermott said, still limited, Javon Solomon and Dewan Smoot. But he did say Dewan Smoot is trending in the right direction. We'll see if that is also the case for Javon Solomon. We'll see if he plays on Monday night. Like I've said a few times here, you're not going to get an injury game designation today like you normally do on a Friday because they play Monday night. So because they play Monday night, the game designations for the game injuries won't come out until tomorrow. So we'll get that from the Buffalo Bills then. Let's head back out to the phone lines. Let's get to Wayne in West Seneca. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate that.
You got it.
Hey, just going back to that, I was at that Jacksonville game, the 0-4, and wasn't the that long Jimmy Smith play catch, that great catch you're talking about, wasn't that the fourth down? It was a fourth down play, and then Nate Clements, just going up and knocking down and swatting the ball down, the game would have been over. He went for the interception, and then that's when that great catch came from. So the game would have been over at that point.
I think you're right. Yeah, and I remember that. Like, oh my God!
We used to laugh about the, you know, because I think Clements maybe during practice or maybe training camp he didn't have like a masking tape on the front of his helmet. You know, playmaker. You know, like, oh geez, man, you know, going for the interception, just knocked the ball down, game over. So that's what I thought happened there. But
well, the other thing is, Wayne, someone did send me an article that in the article about this game. It does say it was ruled a touchdown when it was decided he was pushed out of bounds by the defender and then replay upheld it. I didn't think so. I'm looking at it, and I guess I always thought he was just ruled in bounds. You know what I mean? I tweeted out video, which, by the way, it's just tough to see because of the angle and non-HD. But right. The article says it was ruled that he was pushed out of bounds.
Right, but not that catch, the one before that. Because remember you said...
Yep, I know which one you're talking about. Down the left sideline, Nate Clements was in coverage. Yep.
Yes, I remember that. That's the one. The game would have been over there because I believe that was fourth down. All he had to do was just knock it down, and game would have been over.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate that. And I think you're right. I'm going to go back and look if I have that game. Here we go. Here's the Nate Clements play. So Wayne, you're listening. Hold on. It was fourth and 14. Yes, you're right. Fourth and 14 from the Jags 34. They just throw it up, maybe hope for a pass interference. But instead, Nate Clements goes and doesn't knock it down. He gets beat. Then right after that, there's a delay of game penalty on London Fletcher. What did he do on a defensive side? So that puts it up to they're at the 21. That moves it to the 16, and that's when you get an incomplete pass, an up the middle run, incomplete, a complete pass to the 6, 3 incompletes, and then the touchdown to Ernest Wolford. All right, man, Bills Jags. Let's take a look at week number 3. Give me some NFL music here to put underneath it. We'll take a look at week number 3 as we go forward here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Josh, let's do this, all right? All right, week number 3 in the NFL starts off last night. Thursday night game. No surprise that the Jets, when a team was favored by 6, What was surprising to me was how easily it happened, because I just thought that the Patriots would keep it a little bit closer than they did. Patriots are not good, folks. How did this team beat the Cincinnati Bengals? How? No idea. The Patriots last night had 40 yards at halftime. 40. They wound up with, like, what, 150 or something? I don't even know. 170? 170, maybe? I think I took a look at it. Let me go to the stats here. What? 139. So they had 99 yards in the second half. Incredible. They cannot throw the ball. They can't protect their quarterback. And the Jets look pretty good. Aaron Rodgers looked good. He did not look old and immobile. He looked pretty good. Okay, Sunday. Giants at Browns. Boy, the Giants also a team that just can't seem to get out of their own way. They do not have a lot of talent. I love Malik Nabers and what he's doing. But they're facing a very good Browns defense. I expect the Browns to keep this a very low-scoring game on their end, meaning the Giants not scoring much. So the Browns should make enough plays to win this game. I would look for the Browns to win here. And Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, starting the year 0-3, which would not be good news for them, and especially Daboll, I would say. Bears at Colts. The Colts need a win. They're 0-2, a team that people thought could take a step this year. They don't want to go 0-3. I think they can against the Bears, a Bears team that fought hard against the Texans and has a pretty good defense, but they can't figure it out right now on offense. Caleb Williams can't figure it out on offense. They're a little bit banged up at wide receiver, but I like the Colts in this matchup if they can just make a play or two, because it just seems like the Bears can't do enough on offense yet. Could go either way, though, really. Texans at Vikings becomes a more sneaky matchup than what it was maybe heading into the season. So this is very interesting for the Bills, obviously, because the Bills are fighting in the AFC with the Texans. You'd love to give them a loss here. But if the Vikings win, that's another game that they win, a team that the Bills have their second-round pick next year. You want them to lose a lot of games. I don't think you should worry about that right now. Second-round pick is still good, whether you're picking 1 or 10 or 30. You'd love it to be higher, but it's still good draft capital. What's more important here is if the Vikings can beat the Texans to give them a loss in the AFC, but I'm not sure. How good are the Vikings? Let's see. 2-0 with Sam Darnold. Eagles at Saints. Talk about a team. The Eagles reeling right now after what happened on Monday night. Saints look great. They've scored over 40 points in two straight games. Saints have a little bit of a Drew Bledsoe-era Bills feel to them, to me. Like, start the season, just can't stop them. And then after a few games, you're like, oh, okay, we figured it out. Well, let's see if that happens. Eagles need a win. Desperate team here going into New Orleans, 1-1 after what happened last week and what happened last year towards the end of the year. Chargers at Steelers, two 2-0 teams that I don't think either of them is really that great, but one's going to be 3-0. Who is it? Chargers, Justin Herbert, is a little bit banged up at practice. Steelers, looks like they're going with Justin Fields again. I mean, the Steelers are 2-0. They've won games 18-10 and 13-6, right? The Chargers, they're 2-0. But they've beaten the Raiders, with all due respect. They did beat the Ravens last week. The Raiders and the Panthers. I just don't know what to do with these two teams yet. I don't know what to do with these two teams after this week, to be quite honest with you. Who do the Chargers have next? Oh, Chargers have the Chiefs after this. Steelers have the Colts. I hate the Steelers win. They could be 4-0. Broncos at Buccaneers. Boy, the Buccaneers look really good, and the Broncos don't. This is a game, just the way these two teams have looked, that this should be Buccaneers taking care of business pretty easily almost. But it's the NFL. You never know. Sean Payton rallied his team last year after a tough start. He's working with Bo Nix. I saw a thing the other day about how long it's taken them to get out of the huddle. You are not helping your rookie quarterback by getting out of the huddle 10 seconds left in the huddle because all the personnel changes in the play call. Help your rookie quarterback, Sean. Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield looks really good. 2-0 against 0-2 here. All right, Packers against Titans. Malik Willis facing his former team. He says it's not a revenge game for him. Good for him. He's saying all the right things. What it is for the Titans, though, is a get-off-the-mat game. They're 0-2, and they're facing Malik Willis in a Packers team that's still pretty good without Jordan Love because they can play defense. I think the Packers should probably win this game, but I give the Titans a chance because Look, Will Levis is a turnover machine and a really, I can't believe you made that decision machine, but he can still make some plays. And the Packers are going to have to play a closer to the vest type of game with Malik Willis. That leaves a little margin for error, at least a little margin for error. So I think the Titans can hold here, but the Packers are the better team overall. We'll see, though. Maybe the quarterback play matters when it's all said and done. Good game there. Panthers at Raiders. Okay, I'm just going to say it. The Panthers have a shot. I know, I'll tell you, they look horrible right now. But Andy Dalton's going to give them a little injection in the offense. And as much as the Raiders are coming off a big win at Baltimore, feeling good about themselves. I'm not saying they're overlooking the Panthers, but the Panthers will be ready to play a little bit here. They're going to play for Andy Dalton, I think. I think the Raiders win. I give the Panthers more of a shot than what a lot of people might, though, in this game. Dolphins at Seahawks. Dolphins with Skylar Thompson going across the country to play the Seahawks. A team that I don't think is that great, but I think has a chance to go 3-0 here. And especially against Skylar Thompson, a Skylar Thompson-led offense. This is the longest trip an NFL team can make, I believe, from South Florida to Seattle or vice versa. I like Seattle here, particularly because I just don't like Skylar Thompson running that offense and trying to go on the road in Seattle and win. Lions at Cardinals. Boy, Cardinals looked really good last week. Lions have a very good offense. This might be a high-scoring game. And I don't know which way to go. I think the Cardinals win, but I could see the Lions win. This is a good game. Good NFC game, 4:25 p.m. I like that one. Ravens at Cowboys. Ravens need to get off the mat, right? Now they're facing a Cowboys team that was just taken apart by the Ravens, by the Cowboys, by the Saints last week. So Ravens, if they go to 0-3 and the Bills have to play them next week, Sunday night in Baltimore, whew, that's a tough task. You almost want them to get the win, not to have to do that. But you'd also like them to see get them lost because they are an AFC team that you're fighting with. Best case scenario is, you know, Cowboys still beat them. But man, that would set up a 0-3 Ravens team against a possible 3-0 Bills team Sunday night. Dallas needs to play better. Needs to play better. They know that. They have talent on offense, talent on defense. It just seems like it's the same old Cowboys over the last few years. What we saw last week. You look good in week one and then nothing in week two. 49ers at Rams. 49ers will be ready for this game, but how ready can they be with how banged up they are? Now George Kittle's the latest. However, the Rams, 49ers are banged up at their skill, but the Rams are banged up at the most important players on their skill positions that they rely on the most. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, their offensive line. We'll see what Sean McVay comes up with to mitigate that. And then Sunday night, Chiefs at Falcons. On the surface, Chiefs should go into Atlanta and win. But I think after last week, seeing what Kirk Cousins did and Raheem Morris seeing what he did, maybe they, you know, trend a little bit more towards an up-tempo, make it easier offense, get some easy completions. You have talent on that side of the ball. And I do wonder how much the Isaiah Pacheco injury really affects Kansas City. I think that's a big, big loss for Kansas City, the Isaiah Pacheco injury. And we'll see what that, I mean, Carson Steele? Is that what we're talking about? Not really sure. We'll get our guy Adam Krautwurst here to tell us all about it. He joins me now on the Wester Hotline. We'll get into Monday night's game on Monday when you see the Bills play the Jags. And, of course, the Bengals and Commanders go at it. And then you're going to have Zach and Josh on Monday as I'll be getting down to the stadium for the game. Adam Krautwurst right now on the Wester Hotline from Full Time Fantasy and Deep End Fantasy Podcast. As always, buddy, great to talk to you. How you doing today?
Doing great, Sal. Thanks for having me.
Let me start there with what I just said. How much does it impact the Chiefs in a fantasy perspective without Isaiah Pacheco around the board for them?
Yeah, I think it hurts them a lot. And, you know, I think we'll find out pretty quickly here. You know, the talk of the league the last couple of days has been like, hey, what do you do against these cover twos? What do you do against these kind of these four deep zone looks, these umbrellas? And that's, you know, Josh and Mahomes have been seeing these for 3 or 4 years now. But the way that the Chiefs have been able to get away with it a lot, too, is Mahomes is great, but also they've had that running game. They've had Pacheco for the last couple of years where he can punish the defense for running cover two. And you see the Bills are doing that now with James Cook. So yeah. I think it's really going to hurt them. I don't think Carson Steele's great. For fantasy-wise, you probably are okay starting him. Maybe he gets a goal line score. But I wouldn't be surprised if he struggles and they struggle if they go out and make a trade for a running back.
I agree. I thought about that. I mean, that's the kind of team that would do that, right? Like, they're in the window. They want to win a Super Bowl again. They want to get back there and win another one. They could be looking for a running back to bring in from the outside. In the meantime, what about Samaje Perine? Is he a guy that factors in?
Yeah, he does. He's a pass-catching guy. Like, I don't the thing about Pacheco is he could do both. I don't know if they want Steele in the passing game. So I think, yeah, he certainly could get some work on third downs, under 2 minutes, end of the game, end of the half type of thing. And that's what you want from your running backs. You want goal line work and you want catch work, receiving work. And I think Perine can certainly offer that.
You mentioned James Cook. I think coming into the year, the question was, would he get the touchdowns? We know he's going to get the volume to catch the ball. He's going to get the touches. And then suddenly the touchdowns came in bunches last week. Does that alter your view on him going forward, what you saw last Thursday night against Miami?
It doesn't, in a sense, from a fantasy perspective, is because, again, in order to be super successful, you got to get the receiving work. He does get a short receiving touchdown last week, and you got to get the goal line work. He scored two longer touchdowns last week. Those are a lot harder to come by to be consistent. That might be his best game of the year. I like him more as an NFL player than I do as a fantasy player, but if he can keep getting those receiving scores and stay healthy, that's the thing. He's not a big back, and they're really riding him. If he can stay healthy, I mean, he's going to be on one of the better offenses in the NFL, and you're certainly going to be starting him at least every week as an RB2.
The Jets win last night, but Garrett Wilson is teams, as Aaron Rodgers said, teams are really focusing on him. What do you do with Garrett Wilson right now? It's the guy I have as well in one of my leagues. He had the touchdown last night. That was great, but teams are really focusing on him. Is he still in the upper echelon of wide receivers, knowing that that's how teams are trying to approach the Jets?
Yeah, I think he is. He has, he led the team in targets again. They've been a little bit off, too, on a couple of plays here. And I'm huge. Very high, and Garrett Wilson gets there with the touchdown last night, but doesn't have many yards. Get like 35 yards or something, and they were just off a couple of times. They called Garrett Wilson for illegal motion, but even on that play on that deep ball, Rodgers misses him. Probably could have scored, and then later on in the game, he goes inside on like a little skinny post route there, and Rodgers misses him again. And Rodgers, you can tell he's pissed about it. They haven't really been there on those back shoulder fades either. But I think they'll eventually get there. You're obviously not benching him, but I think he'll be fine moving forward. The touchdown was nice to get him there, but I think they need to get moving a little bit more on some of these deep balls.
All right, then on the Bills a little bit more here. Dalton Kincaid off to a slow start. Should we be buying low on Dalton Kincaid, or is this something we should be a little bit weary of considering what you've seen over the first 2 weeks?
Can I say both? I think you should be probably buying low on him because he's out there for all the plays. He's out there for all the routes. They really forced it. I think he got the first two targets of last week's game, and then I'm sure you've talked about this on the air. As he's getting up, he gets kind of kneed in the face on that second one, and I think it shook him up for at least the first half of the game. So I think they were really going to force him in the ball last week, but they had a huge lead. They weren't trying to throw the ball at the end of that game. They're going to be in some games where they're going to be behind and they got to throw it. He's out there for all of that. So yes, I'm a little weary in a sense that, man, maybe they are going to spread it out more than we thought, but I think when push comes to shove, he is their go-to guy.
Adam Krautwich from the Wester Hotline. Go over to full-time fantasy. He has stardom, sit-em for week number 3 coming up. Derek Carr is at the top of everybody's list right now. How sustainable is this for what they're doing?
Yeah, I think it's sustainable, Sal. They're running, they bring in the new offensive coordinator. They are running more motion and more play action than any team in the NFL. And look what it does, man. It just sets them up for such success. I mean, that's what the analytics say. Those targets, those throws coming off play action and motion are so much more valuable. The crazy thing is, Carr's fourth in fantasy points for quarterbacks. He's 31st in pass attempts. So he's barely even thrown the ball. Wait till they start throwing the ball more. He's been super efficient. And, was it 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when they were talking about Carr as maybe a potential, all-pro candidate, potential MVP guy? I think he still has a little bit of that left in him. And he found there's an offensive coordinator that can help him out.
And then you also have sit-em Trevor Lawrence, and of course of note here because he's playing the Bills on Monday night. Why do you not like Trevor Lawrence and the Jags quarterback this weekend?
It's so interesting. I didn't want to put him on there as a Bills fan because I feel like they always give the Bills fits for like no reason at all. Evan Ingram's probably not playing, and Trevor Lawrence just do I want to say he's just not good? I mean, it's been years when waiting and waiting and waiting for this. All the weapons, no Evan Ingram, Christian Kirk gets one catch for negative 1 yard. I mean, they just he looks lost out there. Maybe Peterson, as the game passed Peterson by as an alternator, like, I don't think he's taken that next step that everyone was hoping. And so, man, I was super high on Lawrence. Again, he didn't have Evan Ingram, who I think is his number one target, but he just can't figure it out. And so if it wasn't for a little bit of those rushing yards last week that he had like one long run down on the sidelines. And, and even there, you know, I hate to say it, but like, he doesn't even try to lower his shoulder and get into the end zone. He kind of ducks out of bounds at the 2 yard line after a long run. Man, you got to go fight for your team there and get that touchdown, especially in a close game. So I'm okay benching him. If you're in a shallow league, a 10-team league, I wouldn't even hate cutting him if there's some. I mean, because Baker was probably on waivers, Baker Mayfield, and probably so was Derek Carr. You can drop Trevor Lawrence for both those quarterbacks.
Is it worth a stream on Brenton Strange, especially considering the Bills linebacker, you know, injuries right now, or would you stay away from that?
I would probably stay away from that too. I mean, he did have a bunch of targets for them last week, but I think you could probably do a little bit better on the waiver wire than this week.
How does the benching of Bryce Young impact anybody in fantasy?
I know it's crazy to say, like, hey, maybe Andy Dalton is an encouraging guy. Maybe he can just have a functional offense. I've got a lot of Deontay Johnson, so I'm in that camp. I'm like, hey, you know, maybe we can get a functional offense and get Deontay going here. I think that'll be fine. I think like you said before I came on, I think he can inject some life into that. He's been there. He's not a new guy. He's been there for 2 years now, so they know him. The players know him. So I think, whereas I would have said, don't start any Carolina Panthers, now I think you can start your Deontay Johnsons. You can maybe, if you're in a desperate mode, because I know there's a lot of injuries, maybe you can start an Adam Thielen, who had a pretty good year last year and when he played a little bit, and maybe get back to Chuba Hubbard, because that's a game that they could compete in and maybe keep Hubbard involved, because the Raiders just aren't very good.
And then finally, I just want to ask you about defenses right now. We see a lot of lower scoring, you know, things going on right now. And then you have some changes. I think Miami's one I'm eyeing. Seattle on defense there. How about Indy on defense against what's happening with Caleb Williams? Anybody you like on defense this week? A team that you like? Tennessee against Malik Willis? The quarterback changes going on in some places. Is there a defense that you might recommend streaming this week because of all this?
Yeah, I think there's... Anytime you just look at streaming defenses, by the way, is a great idea to go ahead and do that, because a lot of leagues, they don't really offer huge points for defenses. But just look at the quarterback position. So you just got Packers versus Titans, Browns versus Giants, Raiders versus Panthers, Seahawks, Buccaneers I really like this week. Okay. And you want to look at not just quarterbacks that are bad, but are they going to turn it over? Because you want turnovers, you want sacks. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get a team that's going to run the ball every play, it's hard to get fantasy points on defense by just stopping the run. So you want to find quarterbacks like Bo Nix, like guys like that, that are going to throw the ball around, get Daniel Jones, that are still going to throw the ball around a little bit. And
how about Will Levis?
Exactly. Play the Packers defense, exactly. So play teams that are going to go up against offenses that are going to turn the ball over and take sacks.
Adam Krautwurst, great stuff. The fantasy football, full-time fantasy is where I can find them, Deep End Podcast. Thanks a lot, buddy. Always appreciate you joining us. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Sal, thank you so much.
All right, you got it. That is Adam Krautwurst, always doing a good job there, getting you set for fantasy. Yeah, I got some decisions I got to make this week, too. One of my fantasy like analytics sites is telling me do not start Derrick Henry because I have other people to start instead, like a wide receiver, like maybe him over Tank Dell. I'm like, really, do I want to not do that? And I didn't love drafting Derrick Henry, but it was the best spot at the time. You know, you can't draft with your heart, you gotta draft with your head. So Fantasy Football Sunday, you can watch it like last week and wait. Remember last week the Bills play Thursday and you have your all day Sunday to just sit back, kick the feet up, watch the games. You do the same thing this week, but you're not as relaxed because you know the Bills haven't played yet, haven't gotten that big W. So they have to go play on Monday. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Patrick Hammer joins me. We're going to take a look at our weather for Monday night as we take a break here. And it's brought to you by, and back in a snap, Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. So the Bills are one of two games Monday night, 7:30, Jags at Bills. That means gates will open at 5:30 p.m., 2 hours before kickoff. So, listen, it's a Monday night game. Gates open at 5:30. school day, work day, I think. I mean, I know sometimes some municipalities, some towns do things a little different. I don't know if Orchard Park is. I haven't looked into that and I should, but the point I'm going to make here is make sure you take that into account with traffic. This is not a Sunday afternoon 1 o'clock game. Take into account traffic heading to the stadium, especially with everything going on with the construction. Remember what the Bills have been, basically been telling people. Please carpool, right? I know if you're getting out of work, whatever, meet somewhere, carpool, because the traffic will be very, very rough, I guess, you know, as you get closer to the game, even than normal. That's just my experience here. Last couple Monday night games, the Tennessee game a couple years ago, same thing, and that's without the construction starting. They play at 7:30. Commanders-Bengals play at 8:15 p.m. So both games will be going on at the same time, although they are staggered as far as the start times. Right when the Bills are ending the first quarter, I guess, a little bit before that, a little bit after that, is when Commanders and Bengals will get rolling. But yeah, traffic, make sure you take into account. Get there early, carpool, leave earlier than they normally would. If you normally go to a game like 3 hours before, make it four. That's what I would say. Just trying to help you here. And then, of course, dress for the weather. What are the elements? What is the weather going to be like? Let's hear from our guy right now, Patrick Hamer of WGRZ-TV2.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Pat Hamer on the Western Hotline. Pat, it is a Monday night game, so I'll give you a little bit of leeway here. You can't maybe pin it down as much as you'd be able to do for a Sunday afternoon game, but how are things looking as far as at least having an idea of what we're looking at Monday night?
Great question, and you're right. That extra, let's say, 24 hours or eight, you know, that time difference between our forecast today and the game, it's enough to make, you know, the timing a little more tricky. But here's the deal. First of all, we have just experienced like 12 of the most amazing weather days in a row, right?
Yeah.
Sunny, 80s. It's been incredible. And you're thinking, oh my God, how could we not have squeezed some home games into this stretch? Unfortunately, yeah, this stretch does come to an end as early as this weekend, but Monday, game day, does feature a chance of some rain, unfortunately. We haven't had rain here since a week ago Monday, so we're coming up on 2 weeks. And then, lo and behold, we have a home game right when this beautiful weather pattern comes to an end.
Yep.
So
I know, I've been monitoring that, looking at it. I'm like, I mean, the same thing happened week one. It's like, oh my God, it was great. It was a beautiful Friday, and then like Saturday just changed. We had that storm. Sunday was better. Sunday turned out to be good weather for the Arizona Cardinals home game. But yeah, I remember leading up to that, the same kind of thing happened.
Yeah, that weekend was kind of a fall like weekend. We had temperatures in the 60s and breezy and cool. It turned out to be kind of rain free for the game, but it's like, oh my God, wait, what? We had one little hiccup, and it occurred during a Bills weekend, right? And that looks to be the case for Monday. So here's what to plan for. There will be rain showers on Monday, okay? It's a slow-moving front that's going to be moving through during the day, and we're hoping that there is a window in the evening where the rain lets up. But given that we're still a couple of days away, we are going to see right now, if you're planning, there is a chance of some rain showers tailgating, and there is a chance of some rain showers during the game itself. Does it look like a downpour? No. Does it look like terribly impactful? No, because we don't see a lot of wind with this. We see comfortable temperatures with this, game time temperatures in the 60s. And, you know, other than a little bit of some nuisance dealing with some rain, and then, of course, wet footballs, I can't see the impact being huge at this point, okay? But there, for the game itself.
Right.
But, you know, for those that are planning to get out and enjoy the tailgating experience, we're hoping to get some dry time in there, absolutely. But I got to go with a chance of showers right now from tailgating and through the game.
When you say chance of showers, rain around, are we talking like if it does, is it going to be kind of a steady all? If it does happen, is it steady throughout the game, like drizzling throughout? Or is it, hey, off and on, we might see some stuff?
I think it's off and on because
okay,
remember the time of the year, September, fall type or late summer, early fall type weather systems, you know, can be the first transition from like, you know, spotty rain in the summer to more of a constant rain. This is a situation where I think it's going to be intermittent. I think there's going to be periods of rain on Monday. We can't avoid it. But I do see some dry time in there as well. The reason why I can't commit to an exact timing is that this front that's coming through right now is in San Diego, believe it or not.
No, it's kind of crazy. Geez.
We can watch these things cross the country. Sometimes storms form right overhead. Sometimes they form, you know, over the Great Plains. This system is currently spinning in Southern California. And we're like, dude, Orange County's awesome. Stay there. Enjoy it. Why do you have to come here, front? Well, it's coming. And it will be here Monday, but it's a slow-moving one. So that's why, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing is a chance of rain during the day, then letting up in the evening. But
right.
I can't hang my hat on that scenario just yet.
What are we talking temperature-wise around kickoff and during the game?
Okay. So, yes, we've had this stretch of 80-degree weather. It's been gorgeous. Next, the weekend, it does cool down a bit. And for Monday, tailgating temperatures in the low 70s, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Game time temperatures in the 60s, which is nice. So okay. It's not going to be cold. It's not going to be, you know, I'm trying to think. Our Monday night football experience here has been crazy weather-wise, as we all know. Of course, that New England win game, that was a Monday night, right?
Yeah. We did have a really amazing night against Tennessee a couple of years ago in one of those early games, too, though.
That was, wasn't that the game after we played the Rams?
Yes. It was a great, it was a great weather game that night, yes. If I remember right.
It was. Yeah. In fact, I was live in front of the stadium that morning, that afternoon, doing some reports, and I remember the weather being very, very nice. So, yes, it's not going to be that nice, unfortunately, this go-around.
Right.
I just don't see a high impact with this because there's no wind, there's no temperatures. It's going to be more of a nuisance at this point.
Okay. I think we can deal with that. And you said, with less wind, too, I think, obviously, that helps. You said this weekend is still going to be good. What are we looking at this weekend? This is the final Bisons weekend at home. People still trying to get out, do some things before the weather starts to turn, wondering when that's going to happen. What does this weekend look like?
Okay, so today, obviously, a repeat of what we've had for like 2 weeks, which is just sunny in 80s. Tomorrow will feature some rain showers, especially there could be a few in the morning, but there will be some rain showers around, spotty, very spotty in the afternoon. Could be a rumble of thunder, still in the 70s, so pleasant temperatures, but this will be like our first rain in 2 weeks. So we're kind of due. If you have, my son's playing golf, he's got a 4:30 tee off time, we're keeping it for him, okay? I don't think this is a plan canceling rain for outdoor activities, but there will be some.
We have some fall baseball going on. I know that.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be spotty.
Be okay.
So all right. For all the coaches out there, parents, keep your plans. I wouldn't adjust game time for any sport outdoors tomorrow at this point. But just know that there will be some showers moving through. Sunday looks pretty good. Not bad, a mix of sun and clouds, 70s. So the second half of the weekend looks better. And then, of course, we've got game day Monday. Rain could be here as early as Monday morning. Just a heads up for that. I think the earlier it gets here, the better. That means it moves through more quickly. Or, you know, that we get the rain over with during the day. But right now, I can't, as I said earlier, hang my hat on that. We got to go with the chance of those showers Monday evening, right, which is such a bummer. Just give my God, this has been the best weather in the flipping northern hemisphere for the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's been amazing.
Yeah. Hey, I read today, you tell me this is right. I think I read the earliest snowfall that ever happened in Buffalo happened on this date back in 1956, a September 20th snowfall.
Yeah, it's crazy. Which means officially it can happen. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
We're officially in the time of the year where it could happen. Yeah, that was a very bizarre September, 56. Lots of thunderstorms. It was just, and there was this cold shot that came through where we had a few days with highs in the 40s, lows in the 30s. And yes, it was a trace of snow recorded on this date in 1956.
That's amazing.
You know, yeah, it can happen. But then again, that's the only time. And there's, of course, been some rare October snows, a famous one, obviously, that we know about from 2006. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking around. I mean, the leaves are changing. I mean, we're kind of heading into that season, but we've been gifted this insane, you know, late summer, you know, fall officially begins tomorrow. This run up to fall has been spectacular. Yeah. So enjoy it, and you'll get another one today.
All right, last thing before I let you go. Are you ready for that incredible ACC rivalry tonight, Stanford at Syracuse? They are now conference rivals.
It's just blows me away. I think it's incredible. I have a little bit of a family legacy with Stanford football.
Yep, that's why I asked you this, yes.
Yeah, grandfather played as an All-American in the 39-42 years as a running back. And I, you know, I got to look back at their schedule. Obviously, Syracuse wasn't on it. But yeah, it's just hard to believe. And to think that the Stanford Cardinal are coming to town, and I believe Syracuse is favored, correct?
Yes, it's like an 8-point favorite. They're actually getting votes. They're 2-0, and they're playing really well. They're getting votes in the top 25, although they haven't made it up there yet.
Wow. So yeah, it's just hard to believe that they're going to be their rivals now. It's a new world we live in, and I'm still adjusting, you know. For all I know, my USC Trojans are playing Rutgers, for all I know.
could be another conference game. Hey, Pat, enjoy the weekend. Thank you very much. I know it's not necessarily the best weather Monday night, but, you know, it also could be a lot worse, I guess. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
And we'll update you via phone or text or whatever Monday,
yes,
if it's warranted. Okay?
Yeah, and listen, Josh and Zach are going to be on Monday, so I'll have them reach out to you if there's anything that needs to be changed that you want to let everybody know about. You know what I mean?
A chat with Josh and Zach is always a pleasure, so I'm here for you.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Pat. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Patrick Hammer right there on the Western Hotline. We'll take a timeout here on a Buffalo Football Friday as we wrap it up and head to the weekend ourselves. Josh, did you see these teams at the Sabres scrimmage today?
I did. I've been seeing some pictures and stuff coming out. It looks like some pretty good matchups there.
Team Blue, Benson, Cousins, Quinn on the top line against Team White, Paterka, Thompson, and Tuck. You got Byram and Power on Team Blue. Team White's got Samuelson and Joki Haru. No Rasmus Dahlin, though, still today. So you can follow our Paul Hamilton, of course. He'll keep you updated on what's going on at PHAM1717. There's a shootout. What's going on here? There's a 3-on-3 and a shootout, right? I'm trying to figure out what's going on in this scrimmage here. It's a 3-on-3. They go to a shootout. Paul writes, Thompson leaves a puck for Paterka, who beat Reimer far side under the crossbar. That's something to monitor, like what's happening with their backup goalie situation. I've heard people think and say that after listening to Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff, that James Reimer is going to be the number two and Devin Levi is going to be in Rochester, because if Levi's not going to play that much, why keep him here? I think it's really interesting what they do. Although I'm a big Devin Levi fan. I think he's going to be really good in this league, but I get it. Like, he's not necessarily ready to play that type of workload. And you had UPL, more than anything, might be about UPL. You have UPL, who's played so well and did play so well last year, that, you know, you got to roll with him. And I get caught up in it too. I'd love to see Devin Levi here being the second guy, but if he's not going to play here that much, then let him get the reps in Rochester. He needs that instead of just coming in cold. Sabres have a preseason game tomorrow, right? I just want to see this. Penguins Sabres tomorrow at 7 p.m. Then they play Monday at 5 p.m. against the Blue Jackets. Then a couple other games next week. And then it's off to Europe, basically. Like, the team will head over there. They'll get ready for their games in Europe. The first weekend in October, that's against it's in Prague against the Devils. That should be interesting. Same weekend, the Bills play the Houston Texans. I mean, Josh, have you ever been around for a WGR Sports Thunder?
I've heard many stories about WGR Sports Thunder, but I've never been a part of one or been around for one. I mean, I've heard
we may so have to have a Sports ones. Thunder.
I'm excited. I would love it. I'm ready. Let's go.
So Sports Thunder is when there's so much going on between the Bills and Sabres, we just don't get off the air and we just keep rolling these shows. And we're overnight, we're on. And listen, Sabres Devils at 10 a.m. that Sunday. They play at 1 p.m. on Friday, and then they play at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and then it's the Bills at 1 p.m. on Sunday. I mean, you know, maybe down for a little Sports Thunder here, Josh. We'd have to do that.
Like 3 days worth of just all WGR.
That's what Sports Thunder is.
Three days.
That's literally what it is.
3 days? That'd be crazy. I mean, that's a lot.
Well, I mean, you'd
time.
Have Chopin Bulldog would have, you know, their Friday show that would roll in, and you know, they would come on after the game, talk about the game. There'd be a post game, and then there'd be, you know, a late night post game, and Brian would be on there or whatever, I guess, whenever that would be. Maybe you'd do that. And then you roll it in overnight. Come on, what's wrong with you, man? Don't you want to be on the air talking Buffalo sports?
Well, yeah.
Let's go.
But then what are you going to do for Saturday night? And so are you going to have, like, I'm just wrapping
all right,
my
we'll throw a
it.
College football game on the air to give you a break, okay? We'll do that.
Oh,
speaking
so
of college football, real
me?
Quick. Yeah, it's all good. You'd be a part of it. All right, Stanford at Syracuse tonight. And then UB, by the way, UB plays a big game tomorrow at Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois is ranked in the top 25. UB is going to be on. Of course, we'll have that game on the bet 15-20. That will be a 3:30 p.m. kick, the University of Buffalo against Northern Illinois. All right, we're heading on out of here. We got One Bills Live on a Friday, Sabres Live. We got scrimmages. We got a lot of things going on today. So stay tuned. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. I'll join Mike and Bulldog at 5:30 today on the Buffalo Bills Football Friday. I wanted to get my read in for you there. And of course, it's brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Have a great weekend, everybody.